Everyone seems to be talking about STEM education and careers these days. That's science, technology, engineering, and math. And one of those disciplines within STEM studies is having its own moment in the sun, Dennis. It's called computer coding.
Well, just Google coding classes Atlanta and you'll get 509,000 results. But many computer scientists tell you, you don't need a class at all. So here to offer some clarity on this is Professor Bryson Payne. He's the author of a new book called Teach Your Kids to Code. Dr. Payne, welcome to A Closer Look. Good to have you.
Thank you. Thank you, Rose. Thanks, Dennis.
First of all, for those who haven't mastered online gaming the way that Rose and I have, what is coding to begin with?
Coding is just programming a computer, making it do something you want it to do, whether you're playing with a mobile app for the first time, building a self-driving car, 3D printing, bots, drones, anything you can think of in the news today pretty much has software behind it, computer programs or code.
So I think for folks who may have been around as computers have gone along, is this the kind of stuff that people used to do with punch cards and
they floppy disk and all that?
Yeah, and work out, you know, if this happens, then this happens, and telling the computer step by step what to do. Is that what coding is?
Absolutely. It began there, and it's become much easier, much more accessible for kids, for adults. It's become something that anyone can do.
Like the old DOS, where you would type something.
That's
and all
right.
I know, the
yep.
last thing you wanted to hit was run, and it was supposed to do something. So you've taught your kids to code, and apparently when they were 2 and 4 years old, is that correct?
I began, my sons used to love sitting on my lap when I was grading programs from my computer science classes at the University of North Georgia, and they would come up with cool ways to make the programs more interesting than what I'd assigned to my students. They'd say, Dad, can you make the circle red and yellow? Can you make this square bounce across the screen? And so I started taking notes. I would save the programs that we created together, starting when they were just 2 and 4. And after about 6 months, I'd collected 30 short programs, just 5 to 10 lines long, that the boys really enjoyed. So I knew that they were kid tested. And I pitched them to the publisher, No Starch Press. And they thought it was a great idea for a book as well. So I started with 5 to 10 line programs for my 2 and 4 year old, who are 5 and 6 now, all the way up to my college freshman level programs.
And you're saying any parent with the help of your book can teach the kid to code if you have no experience other than pushing enter on the keyboard. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. I've tried to write it in a way that's accessible for parents and kids together. I'm hearing from a lot of parents that their kids 8 and up are able to follow the book alone. But for parents with younger children, this is a great way to spend some time this long summer break together doing something fun.
So let's begin with the beginning. What do you need to start teaching coding?
You can teach. I use the programming language Python, which is a free open source software package that allows you to run this on a PC, a Mac, a Raspberry Pi, a $25 computer that you can buy online, Linux, even your Android phone. You can program Python with your kids.
So what will it do? What kinds of things can it do?
Well, most of the programs that I use are very visual because my sons really enjoyed the graphics spirals. We use Turtle mm-hmm. Graphics, a module in Python. Turtle Graphics have been around for more than 40 years. So they've been used in schools and educational systems for decades. And we draw really colorful, beautiful, winding visual shapes, and then we grow on to build full games that kids can play together.
I'm looking at some of those, and you know, they look kind of like screensavers, for instance, that we used to see quite a bit of.
That's right.
People now have pictures and stuff, but remember all those moving geometric shapes.
That's right.
They look like that. Is that what you're pretty much doing?
Yes, that's how we start off for the first several chapters. You just learn some basic computing concepts by seeing the results of your drawing on the screen. So if something turns the wrong way, you know that you can change a number to make it go the opposite direction. If your colors don't look right, you go back in and check your coding.
So then what would you want it to do? You've got this nice looking thing now. How do you make it actually apply to something?
Well, that's what we build up to. As you build through the chapters, we learn things like loops and conditions, those if statements Rose was talking about a little earlier, until we build some very simple games like I first built when I was 12 years old on my Commodore 64. back in the 80s, I used to.
I remember that. Thank you for telling everybody how old I am.
No. Well, that's how I learned. I would type in programs from a magazine that my mom subscribed me to, Run Magazine for the Commodore 64, and I had just one computer book, a reference guide for that computer, and I would type in the programs and just change things, try something new, and then look at the documents and see how to change something even more. And that's really what I encourage parents and kids to do, is start with the programs that are in the book, then change things actively as you go.
Dr. Payne, talk about how you saw any changes or maybe just an increase in their attitude toward working with the computers and programming. How did your kids, did they change at all? Did you see them sort of really get into it?
Well, my son, Max, was born a month before the iPad came out. So he's had an iPad in his hands since he was about a month old. In fact, I remember the first time I brought him into my office, and I had a large iMac, a big 27-inch screen, and he started touching the screen and was confused because none of the icons responded.
Ah.
He said, "Daddy, it's broken." I said, "No, son, this is an old-style computer. You have to move the mouse over here." And so my sons have been born into sort of this digital native environment that we talk about.
Let me get your thoughts on this, because next week on A Closer Look, we're going to talk to someone who, there's a survey that's come out that talks about parents in this survey that they are concerned about technology for their toddlers, that it can also hinder their actual communication skills. What are your thoughts on that?
Too much technology. That's not been the case with my sons, but I think one key difference is that they're engaged in making the computer do something. And really, coding is a team sport. My boys enjoy coding with me. That's one of the best parts of doing this together, is that they get a chance to see that I'm engaged in it. They get to see what I do at work, and they get to turn a computer into a device or a tool that does what they want it to do. They control how things come. They're not passively enjoying it. They're actually engaged in building something.
So what's their next project? How are they going to take these little step-by-step instructions that they're feeding into the computer? What do they want to turn it into next?
Well, at every step along the way, the boys add something new. My son Alex came up with about a third of these programs. He would say, "Dad, can you make it do this? Now when we click, could you make it make a popping sound?" And before we knew it, we were building the full games that we build out in the last few chapters of the book. Really, from here, I don't necessarily want my boys to follow in my footsteps and be a computer scientist. I have a good friend that was just speaking at a Rotary Club the other day. Her daughter is 10 years old and knows she wants to be a neurosurgeon at 10 years old. But she says she's also really creative, and she picked up a copy of the book because she wants to give her daughter a chance to express herself. And coding is just one way you can express yourself, do something cool in any career path.
Well, that leads me to this question, yes, which is, will this also, in your opinion, help kids maybe improve in math or any other academic skills that they may be lacking? Will it help improve that?
I believe so. This is an application of geometry. You talked about those cool geometric shapes. My son knew what a hexagon was before he started pre-K, because he wanted to draw a shape with six sides. And I'd say, "Sure, we can turn that into a hexagon." So he changed this 90-degree angle on the outside to a 60-degree angle. And he could type in 60 on the keyboard. As soon as Max was able to find his numbers and Alex could type full words, we were coding together before we knew it.
Here's a sort of non-mathematical question, and that it's because when Rose kind of was going down this road a little bit. You have kids who, or anybody who says, "Okay, I'm going to tell the computer to do this and it'll do it, or it'll tell me, you know, try this or something like that." There's that instant thing, and not all of life is that instant or that yes or no, that binary. Is it, how do you work that in when you're talking to them and helping them turn a program into a game?
Well, that was one of the interesting learning points along the way, is my sons would come up with really cool ideas that I couldn't implement live with them right there.
Let
me work on that, and when you come back tomorrow, we'll sit down and do those last few steps together. So they get a chance to see that when you're building something big, if you're building an application like your favorite smartphone app, It's not something you do in one sitting, one night alone. These are massive teams of people. I say coding is a team sport for a good reason. All the applications we love are built by a big group of people over a long period of time, but it starts with the basics.
Because I think that's a concern a lot of parents have, whether it's coding or anything else, with the computer, is that the kids are going to want things in the rest of life to be that quick, that instant, and they get really frustrated when they're not. Have you run into that with this?
I haven't personally. I work with kindergarten through 12th grade students in local schools. I also work with students at the college level, of course, from undergraduate all the way through the MBA program. And I think we all want things faster. But when you see what it takes to build a program, it gives you an appreciation for the engineering, the work, the design, the building that went into that application.
The book is called Teach Your Kids to Code. It's a parent-friendly guide to Python programming. And again, Dr. Payne, they can download the Python programming software. It's free, is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. And all the source code for the book is on the publisher's website at nostarch.com/teachkids.
And if Dennis and I can learn coding,
if we can learn
there's
it.
Hope for everybody. Dr. Payne, thank you so much for coming in. We really appreciate it. That was fun.
Yeah. Thank you.
And
thank
say
you
hi to the kids.
I appreciate it. I will.